Miru!
Yo!
Finally! Yo.
You had to download Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, you just been on Safari like a caveman this whole time?
The whole time, bro. I'm a default guy. I'm default settings.
We record through Zoom, so that's why we have like... I think the only time I've ever opened the browser is to send the video file through WeTransfer, because like this is their computer, so I don't do anything with it.
Oh!
I don't even like being in the room doing stuff when this on, because I don't trust it. I'm like, are they watching me?
Yo,
put a tape over.
I'll be down here making big short off, and then I forget that this camera's on, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, I don't trust it.
Do you guys have like the privacy post-it note you put on the camera to cover it, or you're not?
I don't.
That
I'm like, yo,
paranoid
it's
yet.
Too late. It's too late.
When the brand is this strong, the world is your browser window. Today, we're joined by Showtime's Desus and Mero, the Bronx's biggest ambassadors, right as the Red Sox visit Yankee Stadium. And as usual, the Bodega Boys have a lot to say about their climb up the ranks of Yankee fandom, how they'd fare inside the NBA bubble, and how other NBA teams keep trying to steal them away from our hapless New York Knicks. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, August 14th. This is ESPN Daily.
Yo, so I've been thinking of you guys lately, for real, because the Red Sox are coming to an extraordinarily empty Yankee Stadium for this four-game series starting today.
Yes.
This has to be extra heartbreaking for both of you, because obviously you rep the Bronx harder than any human beings on the planet.
So they, you know.
All day.
But also because I've been watching you guys climb the ladder of celebrity Yankee fans. Mm-hmm. And I feel like last year you guys finally passed Steve Chirripa.
We did.
Okay.
You have your sights trained on Billy Crystal. And so
he's next.
This has had to be hard.
We were at the point where every time you turned on a Yankee game, you were going to see me and Mero sitting behind home plate. We were going to be like the two old guys on the Muppet Show. We were going to be a fixture at Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Where's Desus and Mero? Where's Desus and Mero?
Yeah, where are they?
Just like,
oh, there they are. They're throwing peanuts at Giuliani. You got to love them.
Desus Nice and the Kid Mero host Desus and Mero on Sundays and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on Showtime. Their book, God Level Knowledge Darts, is available for pre-order wherever you get your books.
You know, just have Michael K just trail off when the score is like 10-5 and he just starts talking about, you know, Mero has four kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to discuss their birth order and the time when they were born. And you're just like, wow, he's going to kill 20 minutes with this. Wow, I love it. But yeah, man, now we got to watch it at home. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same. The rivalry is still the same. But when someone hits a home run and then they do the piped in noise that is clearly from like RBI baseball for the Nintendo, it's not the same.
It's a little tame. You got to throw in at least like a few scattered like Staten Island cops in there to make it really feel real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hit out the park. Either that or mic up the players. Mic up all the players and let us hear exactly what they're saying. Like, come on. We're missing out on so many, especially when they play the Astros. Come on.
Yo.
We got to do some magical positive thinking here, because I want you to pretend now that there is no pandemic.
Right.
And so you guys are, I mean, you're taking the subway still, right? You're taking the 4, the B, the D to the stadium.
Yeah.
Were you guys going Uber?
You know what?
Last season.
You know what? It's worse to take a car to the stadium.
Right.
Because you can't park anywhere. Everything's closed
off.
It's like getting dropped off at the White House in an Uber.
You know what's even worse? I'm in walking distance of Yankee Stadium now, which I'm really not. I thought, like, I live not too far away from Yankee Stadium, but it's New York walking distance. So if it was anywhere else, they'd be like, get in a car. And it takes me maybe 50 minutes to walk. That's not walking distance, but I'm always there. And then it's funny because people driving by are like, that's clearly Desus. Why is Desus just walking down some random Bronx street?
Why is he walking across like a major Deacon on the shoulder?
You see the car pass, it slows down, and they look, and I'm like, just go top of the day, going to Yankee Stadium.
Rudy Giuliani, by the way, is absolutely the final boss on the Mortal Kombat ladder of celebrity Yankee fans. You have to defeat Rudy Giuliani. The new life for you guys is obviously very VIP, but what was it like when you first moved to the new neighborhood that is the luxury boxes in Yankee Stadium? What was that experience like?
Yo.
Ooh.
Yo. I feel like the first time we went wasn't for a Yankee game. It was for like a NYCFC game.
That was in like the upper suite.
That was like, I mean, that was my first like box experience. And I'll tell you, I have never eaten so many chicken fingers in my life, dog. Like they weren't even like the Costco giant bag. Like these were made with love. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was panko breadcrumbs, Pablo. Panko. Bro,
let me tell you. That first time, was it? Because directly behind home plate at Yankee Stadium is, what is it? The Legends Field Suite.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
First of all, completely different entrance than the Poors.
Of course.
As I know, Yankee management refers to them. Those are the tickets you can't reprint on a printer. You have to have the actual one on the app. So the staff loves us because the staff is like every other Yankee fan is a bunch of jerks. Anytime they see me, they're like, hey, bro, where's Mero? Bro, where's Mero? We love your show. Or my favorite one, there were two concession workers. And one was like, yo, is that Jesus? Then the guy was like, yeah, that's Jesus. He was like, yo, you with their show? The guy was like, nah, they're mad corny. And I was like,
whoa,
I'm right here. What did that do to you?
That's the Bronx.
Let's do some positive magical thinking. Let's pretend there is no pandemic. Let's say it's October. It's a crisp, clear night. You've got your $24 thinly sliced cheesesteak. And
nice.
The Yankees are playing the Astros in game one of the ALCS.
Ooh. Ooh.
Up at the plate. At the top of the first is Jose Altuve. What are you guys doing?
I'm bringing a bag of baseballs to throw, just in case whoever's pitching for the Yankees feels like they can't do that and like they're too valuable for the team. I'll take that. I'll take that on. I will bean somebody from the stands, you know, in order to keep the unwritten rules written.
Listen, to help, you know, it's very unfair this season. The Astros do not have the help they've had in previous seasons. So I'm going to look out. I am going to come to the game with the cast of Stomp. And we're going to make loud noises throughout the at-bat so they know that a home run is coming. It really looks like another MLB team might kill the Astros. Like, they're throwing at their heads. They're fighting them. Like, I love that energy.
Yo, I think Joe Kelly really wanted to murder somebody that day. Like,
Joe Kelly was ready to catch a body.
So there's a big difference between the new stadium and the old stadium, yeah. Right? I mean, the old stadium, when it comes to the intimidation you guys are referring to, I mean, I used to sneak in McDonald's, sit in the bleachers, yell at children in Red Sox caps as well in high school.
Right.
Can you paint the picture of what the old Yankee Stadium was like?
I remember like it was yesterday. It was Yankees Braves. I don't know who the outfielder at the time was, but he had just gotten a DUI, and the entire, like, he caught, like, he missed, like, a routine pop-up, then he struck out. Yo, the DUI chance did not stop for, like, four innings, dog. It was like, DUI!
Yeah.
DUI! Every time this guy came to the plate, every time he caught a fly, every time he said his name, that they were chanting DUI, it's, like, for four innings straight, nonstop, bro. It was a different kind of energy.
The old stadium, the way it was built, it was like the energy would build over the field, and it was super intimidating. And like it was literally like an extra player. It would rock, especially during like the 96 World Series and stuff. You could actually see it, the camera shaking, because people were like standing up and jumping. And it was like the old, because the old stadium had that old energy. Because now at the new stadium, God forbid you stand if it's a full count and there's two strikes. Because somebody would be like, sit down, my son can't see.
You know what changed the game too? There was no text snitching at the old Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. Now you could be like,
this guy in front of me is throwing peanut shells at a busted Red Sox fan. I do not like it.
Send. You know what I'm saying?
It's especially fun now because I'm usually the person they want to throw out. And other people's like, that's Jesus. And then you hear people like one row behind you like, who? He has a what? He works with who? Miro. Who?
Wait, Jesus.
And I'm just like,
Jesus.
I'm like, yo, I'm right here. I am right here. Google it.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Wait, I need you to describe these as like, I've seen you post this on social, just like, you're sitting in the nice seats and there are people around you. What's the relationship that you have found with the surrounding luxury fans?
Yo, let me tell you something. Jesus, there's two Jesuses, right? There's Jesus right now, and there's what I affectionately refer to as Goblin Jesus. Goblin Jesus appears when you pour Bex on him like gremlins. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he just goes hammer. So and I'm here for it. I love it. And that's when you get the, like, he'll just turn around to like random like orthodontist from Connecticut and be like,
yo, we gang. Yankees forever, you heard? You know what I'm saying?
And then Dr. Bornstein is like, yeah, Yankees forever, you heard? Like,
I've always been like that even before I was on TV. If I'm at a game, if I'm at a Knicks game, if I'm at a Yankee game, at a Rangers game, we are family. If you are immediately in front of me or behind me, we are, like, even if you're rooting for the other team, we watch this game together. Next thing you know, me and this person are like best friends, and I'm texting this person. Like, then I'm on Instagram with somebody, like, they're like, oh, look, my niece is at her graduation. And like, I'm in the comments like, oh, she's getting so tall. And then everyone underneath is like, how do you know him? What the hell? What? It's so much fun. I love the chaos.
I remember, Deezus, you put a photo up and I think you were like at the scorer's table at the Garden. And it was like you and one of your new friends. And I was like, let me just see if I can find out who this guy is. And I did my Googles and I found out that he was like a billionaire of some kind. And I was just like, yeah, this is just what happens to these guys now.
And also it's very random because like we'll be at a Nick game and no one's like, a couple of people are like, yo, that's Deezus Romero, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no big deal. And then CC Sabathia will pass by. We'll be like, yo, CC. He'd be like, ah, my guys. And then all of a sudden you're like, hold up.
What?
Yo, Carmelo Anthony be like, ah, what's up? We're like, yo, Melo, And then, like, you see people really get confused, like, who the hell are these guys? And we love that. That's fun. And then if you do know us, you're just like, yo, you're like, you're like the white people that started watching The Wire before everyone else did.
You're welcome.
So they brought it up at dinner parties. You're like, oh, you don't know? Oh, you don't know? Oh, wow, you're missing out. It's so of the moment.
So we're going back through history. We're reevaluating all sorts of historical figures, presidents, celebrities, as regards race and culture. So wait, Mero, I just want you to explain to America how you want them to remember maybe the greatest Yankee of all time, Babe Ruth.
As a Dominican that had to hide himself and, you know, the erasure that occurred.
Wait, explain the case for those who aren't familiar with what you're saying as to why Babe Ruth is actually Afro-Caribbean.
Just look at him. We told Jay Williams this on the old show. Peep it. It's in the nose, bro.
The nose.
So, speaking of hiding, I want to read to you guys from the NBA's new policy about guests in the bubble. Because here's what the language says, okay? Any individual the player has not previously met in person or with whom the player has limited in-person interactions, for example, known by the player only through social media or an intermediary. That's not welcome.
Yo, Pablo, let me tell you something right now. I don't want to cut you off. That is NBA legalese for, yo, you can't bring Instagram models into the bubble.
Listen.
Josh Hart, we're talking to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody under the age of 25 in the NBA, we're talking to you. And you, Alvin Gentry.
Oh, my God.
Wait, so while we've been talking, a story has broken. The Seahawks have just cut a rookie cornerback this week because he was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel. And the way that he did it was by putting her in a Seahawks jersey.
All right,
dog. At least give her a pizza box.
He is not the fact that he tried to sneak her in. It's the stupidity. All right, he's like, yo, this worked. This worked in Freaky Friday. Listen, they won't know the difference. They'll be none the wiser.
So wait. Given all of these security precautions and everything, how do you think you guys would have done in a bubble?
Ooh, you know what? From being in this apartment, I'd go a little stir crazy, but I could possibly survive in a bubble. The problem is not so much being in a bubble, seeing everyone outside the bubble having a lot more fun than you. Like, that's when you start losing it. But us being in the NBA bubble, that would be an amazing movie. Just us harassing LeBron.
Nobody's playing. Just rip the rim down.
Oh, where? I can't play? I just roof the ball. I'm like, nah, nobody plays. Bubble done. Taylor Rooks, come on. We're going to go play Spades. We're not doing this.
So speaking of pandemic activities, chapter 4 of your book that everybody should go out and order immediately is partly devoted to your alleged degenerate gambling. Yeah. So Miro, I'll address this to you because you're in Jersey. Desus is still in New York. We don't want to make the block
hot,
all that hot. But
there you go.
How has betting on sports affected your fandom?
It's made me fans of sports and things that I did not even know were sports and things, like the presidential VP pick. I was like, yo, you know what? What are the odds on this? You know what I'm saying? Like, look, you guys, we're in a group chat, like talking about like, and I'm like, I'm spitting out odds. I'm like, I got Kamala plus 125, bro.
Is that the point now? I'm hitting him up. Like, I'm watching sports and I know nothing about it, but I'm just like, maybe. I'm like, hitting him up at 3 a.m. I'm like, what's the over under on cornhole? He's like, what?
I'm like, yo.
I'm like, ladies cornhole, the double. Like, hurry. Hurry. She's about to throw the bag.
Oh, is it the semis? I'm like, yo, listen. Joey Bagballs is minus 1,000. He's a good underdog. I would take that. I'd like to.
In the same chapter of the book, Desus, you explain that sports gambling always turns out bad.
It does.
Why is that?
Yo, shout out to my boy. Like, he was hot hand. He was calling it. Could not miss. Started gambling more, bigger stakes, because he could have missed. Then he missed again. Then he started pressuring himself to re-up at what he had lost. And then he's pressuring himself, and then the hot hand he had naturally is gone. Now you're just stressing yourself. It's like, remember when Carmelo Anthony had that game and he got into it with KD? KG, yeah.
I remember the Honey Nut Cheerios game.
I remember, yeah. I'm going to score the title for the Knicks. I'm breaking the point record. His shot, however, was like, nah. He was not hitting any. Like, he was off, and you could see he was pressuring himself. He was out of it mentally. So that happened to my boy. He was out of it mentally. Next thing you know, I think he was down. He just owed mad money. He was out like 80,000 or something like that. So, you know, it's not always ends badly, but it's just like it can very easily, you can go bad very fast.
So you mentioned Melo and the Knicks, and I know you guys are obviously diehard Knicks fans. I mostly want to know, how do you balance the urge to be furious at the Knicks at all times with the desire to be on Jim Dolan's bouncer's guest list at the door of Madison Square Garden?
I've learned that there's no rhyme or reason in it. It makes no sense to just enjoy it while you can. You see what happened to Spike Lee. Spike Lee is the most dedicated Knicks fan, and Spike is more Knicks than the Knicks.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you're using the wrong entrance to Spike Lee.
Yeah.
So if Spike Lee can't get no respect, we don't got a shot in hell. So now I'm just like, you know what? I'm just riding this wave till it's over. And then also now, the Knicks are kind of like the Cubs. Remember everyone, it became a source of pride to be like, I'm still a Cubs fan.
I don't care. 100 years, everybody I don't care. Like,
everybody was like, one day y'all will win. One day, oh, those lovable Cubs fans. No one's like that for the Knicks. No one's like, oh, don't worry. The Knicks, one day you guys will get a championship. Everyone's like, you guys stink. You guys are terrible. You're never going to be good. Your owner sucks. And then they spit on us. We're like, thank you.
I had a question for both of y'all off that tip. Is it because baseball is like older and the NBA is like cool and young? So like young people are like, yo, what have you done for me lately? Because we come out as Yankee fans, we were like, yo, 09 was popping. And then everybody else is like, that was a decade ago.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
That was over 10 years ago.
Well, that's also because Yankee fans are always bringing up the rings.
I was going to say, you guys are the number one culprits of the thing you're describing. All you guys do is yell 27 rings all the time.
Bro, you know, if the Red Sox had 27 rings, I would disavow every one of them. I would come up with reason. I'd be like, no, that one does not count because tuberculosis is running rampant in the city of Boston.
Yeah.
Okay, that one gets an asterisk.
Yeah.
But with what Miro was saying, I think it's more the fact that the Knicks play in New York City. And there's absolutely no reason for them to be bad. And New York does not accept
failure.
Yeah. The Knicks right now, it's like the Knicks don't seem to want to get better. It's not that same, hey, one day you guys are going to win. It's just like, you guys are a burden on ESPN. Like, stop broadcasting your game nationally. And they're like, the Knicks aren't going to play on Christmas. Everyone's like, good. And I was like, I was looking forward to that.
Yeah.
The factors, quote unquote, why the Knicks aren't better. I mean, it's the owner, right? It's Jim Dolan.
You know what? What the weird thing now is, like, and I do miss Knicks games, because the last one I went to was the day that Kobe died, which seems like 5 years ago, honestly. But there's like a energy level inside Madison Square Garden now where, I mean, when we left, where the crowd knows, like, we're at our breaking point as Knicks fans. Because remember, everyone, every time something happened, they were like, sell the team. And they were doing the sell the team chants. And he started kicking people out for selling this, yelling, sell the team chants. But then we realized if the whole stadium is yelling, sell the team, you can't kick everyone out. So Corona came at the right time to stop that. And when he comes back, I want to see what kind of energy we're going to be on.
Yeah.
And let's not also forget, somehow the Knicks were able to botch something while basketball was not even happening. The Knicks, all they had to do was say Black Lives Matter. That's all. They didn't have to mean it. They just had to do a JPEG. And they were like, yeah, Black Lives, I mean.
They could have put it, anybody, like, they could have took Ben and Jerry's statement, Tide statement, Band-Aid statement, Colgate statement, and just like scrubbed out, you know, Colgate and put the Knicks, you know what I'm saying? Like, and been like, yo, we're good. You know what I'm saying? We did our due corporate diligence. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
we're like, nope, we're going to do here's a dissertation on like why we're not saying Black Lives Matter. They put more effort into explaining why they're not saying Black Lives Matter. And it's just like, no, as a Black person, I wasn't like, God damn it, when are the Knicks going to speak out for us? Like, no.
No, you didn't even need to, like, you didn't even do that.
I was like, fam, like every other team has done it. Could you just do it? And then you saw every other team doing it. I was just sitting there like, nah, Knicks. No, don't nick this up.
Oh. Even if you're a total cynical jerk, you do it just to not have players in the league start pointing at you and wondering, why would any of us want to play there?
Exactly. That's what a lot of people, especially, you know, shout out to the new coach coming on Tibbs and everything. Everyone's like, oh, they just got to get new young talent. Da, da, da. But then think about anytime you were a teenager and it was like summertime and like there was like a summer job that everyone went to. But then there was like one place that people was like, you do not want to work there. You don't want to work there. They don't treat the employees right. The customers are rude, whatever. So no one applies there. And sadly, I think the Knicks might be JCPenney. You don't want to work there. Like, it's why would you want to go there? If you can go there and bring them a championship, you will be the man. You will get a statue in front of you. You will never have to pay for a meal ever again in the history of New York City. But the reason that will happen is because you will literally have pulled off a miracle. Like, the amount of obstacles in front of you, like, you earned, we'll replace the Statue of Liberty with you because that's the amount of heavy lifting you'll have to do to Facts. Ever. Like, right and, now, just getting and, the Knicks to the playoffs is like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa, I will name my firstborn after you. If you get us a ring,
yo,
bro, both kidneys right now.
Yo, Jeremy Lin was 2 weeks away from having a statue in front of the
goal. Oh my God. I started building it. I started building it personally.
I'm still building it. I'm still I'm on the train, like, ladies and gentlemen, we got to finish this insanity statue. Come on.
You have your fruit snacks in a cardboard box.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I also, for the record, I saw at least one of you guys popping up at a Nets game.
That was me.
Was that Desus? Okay, so tell me about what went through your mind as you entered Barclays as a Knicks fan, but obviously open to some polyamory.
Yeah, you know what? This is what went through. But first of all, they were like, we're going to give you good seats. Do not wear Knicks colors. I was like, that's fair.
I thought that was the first thing they said.
They know exactly who they're dealing with. So, you know, it's like there's definitely the experience when, like, I've shown up at times for Madison Square Garden to sit courtside, and you show up and they're just like, I don't know, maybe that entrance. It's just kind of like, good luck. Barclays Center had a person waiting for me from the front door who escorted me to the seats. They coat checked my coat. And then they took me to basically the buffet area where unlimited food, unlimited drinks. They said anything I want was on them. They treated me so well. And then they put me on the Jumbotron. And they were like, yo, please become a Nets fan. The Knicks do not appreciate you. We will appreciate you. And you know who else did that? Philly.
Mm.
yo, that was the best experience I've ever had ever in the history of NBA. Like, I will go back to a Philly game. Like, at the end of the game, I was like,
they do it right, man. They do it right.
Well, even Atlanta. We went to a Hawks game, and they were like, yo.
The Hawks hooked us up and everything. Every other team takes care of us, except for who? You know. But yeah, shout out to the Nets. The Nets, that was a great treatment, man. Great treatment. And I was near an actual celebrity. I was like a couple seats away from Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, the guy.
They showed you the money, and then they showed you the guy who shows you the money.
Yo. Okay? And if you've never watched a game while Cuba Gooding Jr. is courtside, you're missing out. Every time a shot went in, he just stood up for no reason. Didn't matter the team.
Yeah, nah. Cuba, number one saucy boy. He didn't even know. He's like, is this a basketball? Is this the Rucker?
So the Nets are a really interesting team because obviously they have Kevin Durant. They got Kyrie Irving. I don't really want to talk about Nets basketball. I mostly want to talk to you about your philosophies on burner accounts.
Ooh.
Oh.
Because I mean, KD is the number one burner account user.
Burner account king. Yeah,
unrepentant.
KD, isn't he like, he's like back out on his regular account now, just being vicious and ruining relationships?
So he is absolutely doing that under his own name. And he's also said that he does not apologize for using a burner account, that he'll probably do it again. Like, he just doesn't care in ways that I ultimately respect, but I'm curious if you share an appreciation for anything that he's doing.
That I kind of appreciate that he said it with his chest. Because there's a lot of people out there that you know definitely are using burner accounts. Sometimes you'll see some sports takes and you're like, no.
This is too specific.
One day there was a tweet and it was just like, you know, one of the greatest Celtics of all time was Paul Pierce, but he doesn't get his roses. And we're like, Paul, we know that's you.
We know that's you, though.
Right? Get out of here. Print Paul Pierce fan 96. I'm like, come on, bro. It's very obvious.
Here's my Lakers power rankings. Kuz, AD, LeBron. Yo, Kuz, come on, man. We know that's dog.
But every now and then you'll see a sports take and you think it's a burner account and it's not, because they were talking about the greatest Knicks ever, and I'm like, Ron Baker. And they're like, excuse me? And then even he logged in, like, he was like, were you talking about me? I was like, yeah, Ron, got your jersey.
I like the idea, by the way, of like you guys having burners, but Mero still tweets in all caps.
I'm like over it. I'm like a predicate felon. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just hip firing on my main account.
The fun thing now on Twitter, since everyone's like at home, is just like inciting riots on the timeline and walking away from it. Just a wild hot take and just closing the browser. And he's like, my work here is done. My work here is done. Like, because if you can walk away from it, that's strength on your part. But you know, there's people if there's certain sports hot takes and it happens to all of us. Even you cannot respond to it. Sometimes you gotta weigh in because it's just so wrong and it's just so, like, there was a hot take yesterday and a guy was like, being a Yankee fan is one of the hardest fan base in the world. Every year this team disappoints me. We never win. How do you guys continue to root for this team? I was like, as a Yankee fan, you wrote that? I was like, hey, let me introduce you to a Pittsburgh fan. You know, you want to actually go through some things. Like, Yankee fans saying, like, every Yankee fan was like, bro, what the hell is this, bro? Bro, we won in 09. Relax.
And that's the thing about Yankee fans. Like, we can occasionally become guilty of it as well. Like, a dude will have two bad games. And, like, yo, Gleyber Torres is a stud. Don't get confused. He's a stud. And they're like, yo, they got to put him at the bottom of the lineup or get rid of him. I would get some good relief pitcher for him I'm like, yo.
The timeline yesterday, Clint Frazier was coming up for the first time in the game, the Yankees game, and the whole time, get this guy out of here, tire this redhead, Tim and his fancy sneakers, get him, he's a bum, get out. Hits a home run. All of a sudden, Clint Frazier is trending, people are throwing up their Clint Frazier jerseys, been a Clint Frazier fan since last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's
love the cleats, bro.
Man, listen, I went back to make sure I was following him on IG. I'm just as guilty as everyone else. So, you know, that's it. Everything we're complaining about on this podcast, we also do. So don't think we're judging anybody.
So I want to wrap this up by just asking you guys, when you watch sports now and you guys can't be together, what's the experience like? Yankees Red Sox is on. What are you guys doing in your respective homes?
Well, I have this thing that I do where I sit down with my kids and I'm like, yo, who are you? My oldest is 9. So, like, it's, you know, it's 9, 7, 5, 3. they don't understand really sports, right? Like, they understand playing sports, but they don't understand, like, you know, the minutia. So I just sit him down. I'm like, yo, who are you? Pick a number. You know what I mean? Because the Yankees don't have names on their jerseys. Yo, who are you? Pick a number. Oh, I'm 99. I'm this guy. I'm that guy. Okay, cool. And then, you know, I just sit down and I watch it with them. And with Knicks games, it was like life lessons. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, listen, if the Knicks cover, they won. That's the rule. And I've said that every single time out, and I will say it until I'm 6 feet deep. If the Knicks cover, they won.
Yeah, my house is like the, you know, the final scenes in Goodfellas when they're making the sauce and it's like madness and they're running around. I still got to have my little – sometimes, like, if it's hot wings for Red Sox, Yankees always get hot wings. Got to watch that as tradition. So then, you know, sit there and watch first pitch. I'm like, okay, all right. It's a little slow. There's no crowd. Still quiet. Let me go do something. So I go do something while I'm still watching TV. Might have the MacBook out. But then something will happen. So then I run back to the TV and I turn it up a little. By, like, the sixth inning is deafening in my apartment because I keep turning up the sound. So all of a sudden, it sounds like Yankee Stadium. That's the one thing I do as a Yankee fan. If something is happening on the screen, I have to turn up the volume, even if it's already loud. I stand if it's like two outs.
Yeah.
And the big thing my pets hate, if there's like a home run, because my pets will be right here sleeping, my cat and my dog, and I'll just be watching, and like, say Judge hits a home run, I'm always like, yeah, go. And the animals are like, why? Why?
All my kids are very familiar with the phrase, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, they all say it. Like, they know when to say it, too. Like, it's like, mm-hmm. That ball is deep. It's back. It's out of here. And it's just like, oh, yeah, let's go.
Also, because I'm kind of twisted, every now and then I'll turn to a Mets game and just watch for a couple of minutes and laugh. Ooh. Like, the other day, they won last night, and I turned. They won by a lot, and I was like, how dare they? I don't like to see that. But sometimes, you'll turn in and you just hear the announcer like, oh, boy, a real stinker. And you just see the timeline. People are like, just kill me. I hate the Mets. I hate being a Mets fan. It's the worst thing ever. I'm like, wow, we're going back to a sense of normalcy. I'm allowed to say that. I used to watch the Mets at Shea Stadium, bro.
You know who was a great ball player?
Yeah.
Benny Agbayani.
Oh, yo.
That guy.
Filipino Benny Agbayani.
Oh, yo, claim him. You got to claim him.
I'm claiming
him. You got to scoop them all up.
If you claim Babe Ruth, I absolutely claim Benny Agbayani.
Listen, Pablo has said it is now fact. Someone go on the Wikipedia page and change it right now, okay?
Yeah.
I can think of no better way to, I guess, in the words of Miro's kids, go. So thank you guys for joining me.
Pablo, thank you for having us, man. Always fun hanging with the homie.
You know what it is. We know Pablo Torriega, the real Torriega. He don't know us no favors.
Pablo is upper level friend of the brand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pablo sits directly behind home plate at Yankee Bodega Stadium. He's sitting right next to Rudy Giuliani.
And Lorne Michaels.
I was going to say, the Lorne Michaels team.
Man.
I love you guys. It's been too long since we hung out, so this has been a delight for all reasons, man.
Thank you.
That's Thesis Nice and the Kid Mero. Their book, God Level Knowledge Darts, is out next month. You can pre-order it now and get tickets for their virtual book tour that kicks off today at bodegahive.com. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alex Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tumanello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Russell DiNallo, Max Brodsky, and Troy Farkas. I'll talk to you Monday.